This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And this is something that we should be proud of as Muslims, brothers and sisters. Because I don't want to talk to you about this and then you feel nice for one day and then you go home and it's the same story. I don't want you to suffer from spiritual diabetes. And this is not spiritual insulin for you. Okay? I want you to really take this on board so you could be encouraged to do your own studies. So you could be encouraged to open your mouth, not to hide anymore. Because Muslims, we can't afford to hide anymore. People are waiting for you to speak. The whole world is waiting for Islam to raise its voice. The true voice of Islam. The voice of peace. The voice of rahmah. The voice of justice. The voice of distribution of wealth. The voice of harmony, the voice of tolerance. This is what the world needs. You can't be hiding anymore, brothers and sisters. You can't have people coming every year to the same conferences and listening to the same things. Enough, khalas. It's time to arise and warn. Qum fa'anzir. Allah says, arise and warn. You have all of the resources at your disposal. MashaAllah, you're strong. MashaAllah, you're powerful. MashaAllah, you have money as well. MashaAllah, you have good food, right? You have an intellectual tradition. You have everything at your disposal. Now is the time for you to articulate a positive, compassionate case for Islam. Don't forget, we are ukhrijat linnas. Allah tells us, we are here for the people. Linnas, the Arabic linnas. Not minannas, we're not from them. We're for them. Now this is not supposed to create arrogance and kibr. No. It's supposed to humble us. To make us realize that we're here for people if we adopt the values of the Quran and the prophetic traditions. To take care of humanity. This is what Muslims are about. Allah says we are shuhada and annas. We're here, we're witnesses over mankind. To take care of people. To facilitate their affairs. Why is it, brothers and sisters, that 8 million people die of starvation every year in the world? According to UNICEF, and the majority of those people are children under the age of 5. Why have you and me allowed such a situation? This is the real terrorism. If you want to play a numbers game, this is the real terrorism, allowing 8 million people to die because of starvation, because of no food, when we know there is enough food on this planet. Look how fat some of the Americans have become. Look how fat some of the Saudis have become. Look how fat some of the Qataris have become. No offense, but we've become obese. We've got so much food, we don't know what to do with it. And we waste, and we waste, and we waste. The issue is not about we don't have enough food. The issue is about distribution of wealth. Why have we allowed such a situation to happen? As Muslims, this should not happen at all. And if it does happen, we need to warn people and show them the right way forward. To teach them about the distribution of wealth. To teach them about the Islamic values of economics. Because we're going to be accountable on the Day of Judgment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want you to take this as a sense of responsibility that every single one of you have a voice. And this is why I don't want these sessions, these conferences, just to make you feel nice for a few minutes. And then you go back home, you go back to sleep, and it's the same old routine. The same old routine. I want you to be revived. I want this to be like seeds that are planted in your heart and your mind so they could grow into the fruits of transformation. This is what we want. Because to be honest, brothers and sisters, if you look at the politics around the world and what's happening, I think all eyes are on Turkey at the moment. Relatively economically stable, social stability, taking some kind of leadership in the world at the moment, creating good dynamic relationship with other leaders, has an Islamic ethos, is harmonious, it's reviving its tradition of making sure that all the minorities live harmoniously, the Turks, the Kurds, the Armenians, and everybody else, right? And there's this slow, interesting progression towards these Islamic values, which is creating a lot of harmony. So I think eyes are on Turkey at the moment. Eyes are on Turkey, eyes are on you. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit in conferences and just say, oh, alhamdulillah, a Greek brother, he became Muslim, he said a few things in Turkish, I feel so happy, and he said a few things about the Ottomans, I feel so great, ha 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 ha. You're not children. You're not children, you're adults, you're leaders. You have to see yourself as a leader. Every Muslim is a leader. Every Muslim is a leader. This is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Everyone is a shepherd. We are all shepherds. And we all have something to manage, our flock. And you need to lead your families, lead yourselves, and lead your society. Because think about it, brothers and sisters. You know, the Quran not only changed the world, but it's supposed to change you. It's supposed to change you. Are you going to just be born, educate yourself, get a good job, get money, get married, have kids, and then die? Is that your life? Is that your life? Born, marriage, kids, death? Is that your life? Well, we need to think about this. Because if that is your life, then you're no different from a cow, a sheep, and a donkey. Honestly. And I say this about myself. Because all of these things are just based on instinct. Survival, reproduction. That's what a cow does when it's eating grass. It's surviving, and then it mates with its friend, and it reproduces. Right? We do the same. I don't care if you have a PhD. I don't care if you've got a great job. It still is based on instinct, survival, reproduction. I don't care if you wrote your wife poetry. Makes no difference. It's still based on an instinct. I don't care if you went to this amazing island for your honeymoon. It's still based on instinct, procreation. Many of the things that we do in our lives is based on these core animal instincts. Even the big houses that we buy and the big cars that we have. This is all just shiny stuff. But it reduces itself to the core animal instinct of survival. Is your life just going to be about survival reproduction? Is that it? Or are you going to do something about your life? Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِرُسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُهْيِيكُمْ. All you who have believed, talking to you, not talking to your next door neighbor, talking to you. The book of Allah is one big love letter to you. Because it's from His Rahmah that He revealed this book. And Allah is saying to you, all you who have believed, respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger to that which gives you life. Imam Bukhari, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, the response here is the response to all that is good. And all that is good is Islam. So Allah is telling us what's going to give us real life. Because the ulama, the scholars say about this ayah, that if you don't respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger, then you're dead Muslim walking. Your heart is dead. Your spiritual heart is dead. And you're just like an animal, just obeying your instincts. Born, marriage, kids, death. And in between, lots of yamek. Right? We need to elevate ourselves, brothers and sisters. We need to elevate ourselves and understand that the real change of the Quran wasn't just about changing Ottoman life. It wasn't about just changing Spanish life in Islamic Spain. It wasn't about just economics. Why did these things happen? That's the question I want you to ask. Why did they happen? Near, right? Why did they happen? They happened not because of the values themselves, because people carried the values. The Sahaba, the Muslims, they carried the values of the Quran and Sunnah, not only just in their minds, but it was in their hearts. So really, when the Quran changed the world, it's because it changed people. Think about this, brothers and sisters. 80 years after the death of our beloved Prophet, and according to the ulama, the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the greatest calamity for the ummah. It was the greatest calamity for the ummah. But 80 years after his death, we were in Pakistan, in Multan, and we were in Spain. And it was 82 years after his death that the Muslims decided to fix the masjid of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was still dripping of water. It goes to show the people at the time, they knew what created change was a change of mind and a change of heart. A spiritual, intellectual transformation. Not just building buildings. Yes, we have amazing mosques in Ottoman history. I love them. They're beautiful. The best architecture ever. But to be honest, a mosque doesn't change society. A building doesn't change society. Cement doesn't change society. Rocks do not change society. Pestle and mortar doesn't change society. Bricks don't change society. Even money doesn't change society. What changes society is values, is thoughts, is ideas, is your spiritual disposition. And this is why the early Muslims, the reason just in 80 years after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we were in Pakistan and Spain implementing the justice and harmony and peace of Islam. Because it was about people of substance. The Quran changed and transformed the hearts of man. So that's the real change. We could talk about Ottoman history and Islamic Spain and medieval Baghdad until we get fed up. But the real question today is, how is the Quran going to change your heart? How is the Book of Allah going to change your heart? And I want us to focus on this because it's very important for the future. We shouldn't have a historical complex. Don't be like the Greeks. Just because there was Aristotle and Plato, the Greeks think they're something. But they don't know anything. Because what are they now? They're just slaves of Germany. But that's a different economic problem. But the point is, we need to realize, don't have a historical complex. Because when we look into Ottoman history, we should see it as a motivation to look into the future. And this is why when we say the Quran changed the world, means it changed people's hearts in order for them to change the world. So how do we now change our hearts? There's so many things we need to do from a spiritual, social level.